Michael Dyer, welcome to Drive Time Sports.
Thank you.
I'm Marcus Elliott. I'm joined by Rick Schaefer and Ray Tucker. And we thank you. But let me first offer our condolences. I know you lost somebody pretty special to you. If you want to share that with us first.
My grandmother passed away yesterday. It was kind of a crazy, shaky day. I just seen her 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it was kind of crazy. I think she wanted to see everybody in the family before she left and went home. So it was a good thing that she got to see everybody, but, you know, we're all kind of sad to see her go, but we know she's in a better spot. Mm-hmm.
Well, our thoughts and prayers are continue to be with you and with your family. And, again, I thank you for taking time during this time to spend with us. We're not gonna keep you awfully long, but we want to share some things or ask you a few questions and get a chance to hear from you from your own words. Because what I've come to find out, Michael, is a lot of things we hear and read in the media, sometimes we're just getting bits and pieces of what the real facts are. Is that something you found or you felt during your saga?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, let's start. Let's kind of start from the beginning, if you will. And Rick and Ray, you guys are welcome to join. Okay. But if I could just start from the beginning, unless you have something to share.
Let me just ask you first, Michael. You're very gracious to come on our program. We know you chose Drive Time Sports. Why did you want to talk publicly about this at this time?
Because I really kind of been not really talking about the situation. Since it's been going on, kind of kept to myself about, you know, everything, even though I kind of knew the truth about some situations. I just, you know, kind of wanted to give myself time to really regroup and, you know, try to come at it in a respectful way, not just, you know, saying things out of anger and, you know, being mad or having, you know, a different heart about it. Just wanted to let it blow over and then, you know, come out and talk about it.
Marcus, if I can, I'll jump in here. And Michael, I'll ask you this question very quickly. First time around coming out of high school here in Little Rock, was there a reason you didn't want to go to the University of Arkansas? Did you and Bobby Petrino match up or not? So
I really in high school I was just I kind of built a relationship with Gus Malzahn. We kind of seen each other almost every week and talked and we almost kept a good friendship going that kind of built through high school. It's just one of those deals where in high school, I guess I wanted to go somewhere where I knew that I knew somebody and knew that somebody, really was going to be there. And I just kind of I felt that way with Miles on, And Arkansas, I enjoyed the school. I visited, I love the fans there. I guess I just picked, Auburn because I kind of had that family support in high school, and that's kind of what I was used to. And I kind of felt like I was going to get that. Not saying that Arkansas wouldn't, but I kind of had already played a relationship with Malzahn, so I kind of went with that choice.
Let me ask you this, though, Michael, and let me expand on that question by Ray just a little bit. So if I hear you correctly, and none of us on none of us talking to you now surprised at Gus Malzahn, the type of recruiter that he is and how personable he is and how he connects with so many young people, especially in the state of Arkansas. So that's not a surprise. But I got to be honest with you. What I heard about that whole situation from the University of Arkansas, that with Coach Petrino, it was totally opposite. That a lot of effort was not put into the recruiting process, and in fact, one may have thought that you could have even wondered as to how much University of Arkansas wanted you based on how Petrino was recruiting you.
That was correct. I mean, like I said, when I went to Auburn, I kind of figured everybody in the office, I knew their wife and who their children were. I kind of had that, they were showing me that they care. Like, I met with, the coaches down there in Auburn. I met with their families, their sons, their daughters, their aunts, or whatever the case may have been. But, I visited Arkansas several times, but I don't want to be down talking Arkansas or anything like that. I'm just saying that I couldn't tell you exactly where the office was located, because it wasn't that kind of relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It was a different coaching staff, right, than it is
right
now.
Right. So, during his time, his coach stuff, they had at the time when I was being recruited, I couldn't really tell you, who was located where, who had who, if he had kids or not. It wasn't that type of relationship, Auburn had somebody at my games, you know, every week, you know, even if it was a kicker or punter's coach or wide receiver's coach, running back's coach or quarterback, you know, they were there, you know. I remember playing the Oak Grove. We played Oak Grove at the War Memorial Stadium, and there were several fans from Auburn down here at the game. They had a big sign at the War Memorial Stadium. So it was kind of that, we want you to be here. We're showing you that we care, you know, by bringing several different people down. Fans were coming down. I played in the we had a game against PA on ESPN. And, you know, that their fans watched it at the house and at the stadium and all type of ways just to know, let me know that, hey, we're waiting on you to get here. We hope you come and stuff like that. But, you know, I didn't feel that urge when it came to Arkansas, you know. I wanted to visit, and I watched a couple games there, you know, but I just couldn't tell you exactly that type of bond that me and Malzahn had in between me. The coach that were recruiting me at that time.
And you have the right to make your own decision. There's not any doubt about that. Let me ask you this. Do you have a time frame right now as to where you're going to make up your mind? Have you put out feelers? You're just about running out of time, are you not?
I'm not really running out of too much time, but I'm kind of being patient right now because it's been going pretty good for the last 2 weeks of graduating and, you know, having a social degree and, you know, doing the process over with again, so I'm just kind of being patient and letting things work itself out.
Well, and talking to Coach Hill, and Michael, just so you know, Coach Hill and I go back a long ways, even before he was at the U of A. My dad actually was his pastor as a young boy, so we've known each other a long time, and he shared a lot with me about your situation and about you. But you know, it's my understanding right now, your total focus is on graduating, and if I've seen some of your grades, is it a misconception? Because I think I've learned a little information. Is it a misconception that you were some rogue and a poor student? In fact, when you first got to Auburn, your grades were extremely well. You were extremely good, and then here, obviously, you're graduating you've got one segment there where you've got a 4.0. Here at Arkansas Baptist, so you've always been a pretty good student, is that not right?
Yes, I've always been a pretty good student. I always try to keep my grades right, and you know, those are one of the things that, you know, that I really tried to work on, you know, throughout football, is keep my grades right while I'm playing football.
Let me ask you a tough question here. So, drug use, and I want to admire you for being open, and you've admitted that you did participate. It drug use, you know, that was something that, you know, unfortunately, a lot of young people, especially a lot of young people in college, smoked marijuana and used this spice stuff. You've admitted that that's something you've done. You've been upfront about that. What about now? Where are you with drug use?
Ever since I've been with Dr. Hill, we've been having our conversation. I met him the last several months, and I've not done those type of things, not been in those type of situations. My family's been here, so it's been, you know, it's been easier. It's been a lot better. I've made a lot of decisions on, you know, what I want to do with my life and what I'm focused on now. So I kind of left all that in my past, and I want that to stay where, you know, where it's at. And I want to be front about it, but I did use it at the time. But, you know, these last several months, I've not had the urge. I've not done it. Not that I don't want to do it anymore. You know, just the things that we all go through in life that, you know, we choose to do at the time and pick, and then when we grow older, we kind of look back on like that's not something that we want to do.
Yeah, that's a great answer, Michael. But let me just ask you this, because you're going to get asked this if you do go to Arkansas or anywhere else. What would you say to the public that says you've said you apologized in the past, but you did it again? What would you say to the public to say you can believe this? And I'm saying it, I really mean it this time.
I would tell them that, you know, the things that I've done in my past is, you know, it's in my past. You know, I can't go back and change it. I can't, you know, I can't go on and do it. That since I've been home and having the time to start over and do the process again, but, you know, that I changed. You know, I'm not that type of person where I feel like I have the urge to smoke, or I feel like I have the urge to ride around with a pistol, because I don't, because I'm at home, a safer environment. You know, my family's here, so, you know, I'm just the type of person now where I'm only focused on, you know, life right now, what can come after us, you know, what's going on, and just been focusing on my grades and working hard and you know, making sure that I can do all the right things so that I can be able to play again, and make sure that the people who are helping me, like Dr. Hill, you know, he's a great guy. He went out his way, you know, to make sure that I have the opportunity to at least, you know, play at mm-hmm. some school. So I want to give back to those people who's given to me. So I just want to do the best of it by showing that, you know, I've changed and, you know, in a bigger way.
And Michael, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to go on press you to disclose any decisions now. You're in the middle of a funeral, and then you're also graduating. So we're not going to talk about, you know, asking you to make a decision on where you're going to play ball or be in school next year. I do want you to talk about, you mentioned guns. And, you know, one thing that was, I think, unknown initially was that you are a licensed gun owner and always have been. Why was it that you felt unprotected, that you felt the need to have a gun, even though it was lawfully in possession? Did you feel unprotected, Michael? Did you experience some situations that caused you to feel unprotected?
It's just been away from home, 10 hours away from home, you know, you're by yourself, and, you know, you don't really know about that protective mode anymore, you know what I mean? Because you can't really call somebody that happened right here immediately. I had four friends that died in Auburn, you know. So it took a toll to me. You know, I don't want to be 10 hours away and then my mom get a phone call that her son, you know, is not here anymore, go off to somebody who was mad or mm-hmm. didn't like him or something like that. I was like, you bring your kids to stay with me and then I'm giving you a phone call and saying that your kid didn't make it, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That hurts. And so for me, I'd rather, you know, carry my weapon, not that it was with me, riding with me, you know, it was always in the trunk in my backpack, you know what I mean? It wasn't mm-hmm. like I was just riding around with a pistol or anything like that, you know. It was safely put up in a trunk in my backpack, you know, every time, you know. And I just always, you know, wanted to know that I was going to be protected and be able to go home to my family, you know what I mean?
Right.
And Michael, let's ask this then, because if you talk about how safe you feel in the protection of your family, when you go off to school, it's likely not going to be in Little Rock. How will you still feel safe and protected without those same thoughts that you had at Auburn?
Well, right now I have to trust somebody that's bigger than me right now, that give me the opportunity to do it again. I have to put my faith in somewhere stronger and not leaning towards something that's going to, you know, people might say get me in trouble, you know, by carrying it or what the situation might be. But I just got to, you know, have a stronger heart this time and a stronger mindset and just try to really focus on, you know, the bright things in the future so that I, you know, you'll have to be worried about that every day.
Michael, let me ask you this question. Now, I understand that you absolutely had a definite chance to go to the NFL, to be drafted in the NFL, but you decided not to. Tell me about that.
Well, I sat down with Dr. Hill and we kind of went over some situations that I could do. Around the time that I enrolled in Arkansas Baptist, you know, some of my options and stuff, and that was one of the options that I could go on the draft, you know, could have made a little money for a fourth round, but that's not what I wanted to do. I had something that I felt that I need to clean up for myself, you know what I mean? I don't know how people feel about their fathers, but I know I lost my father at a young age, and one thing I was big on is, you know, trying to do things for him and making sure that his name was always good, and people always kind of remember his last name. And, you know, I kind of had a little past where it wasn't a good name, you know what I mean, when somebody said Michael Dyer. So I kind of felt like I needed to do that for myself and to fix things and to show people, you know, my real character and who I am. So I didn't want to go to another stage when I knew that I had something else that I needed to fix for myself. So I didn't want to go down that road yet.
Good.
Fitz Hill probably told you that at this point you take a day at a time. But, Michael, if you were on our program 10 years from now and we're talking to you about what happened the last 10 years, what do you think you'd be talking about?
I would be talking about the things that I did go through and how to overcome it, the ways to overcome it, things that you can view of how people can do you when you're on top, how you're on the bottom. I can just go through the whole scenario about life itself, you know, just put myself in people's shoes and people putting themselves in my shoes and be able to talk to kids and, you know, show them that, hey, you can do this and you can be this way or you can do another way and be this way and people can understand you and just, you know, just try to be that people person where people can look up and look at my story and then say, oh, okay, well, I can do it because he did it. You know what I'm saying? I went from Auburn, A-State, and back Arkansas Baptist, and I got a social degree now, and I'm still going and still trying, you know what I mean? I haven't stopped, you know what I mean? So maybe the kids be out there looking, you know, for some hope, and maybe my story would be able to give them hope.
And you get a chance to do that now. I was looking at the article today in the USA Today. It shows you speaking to a group of kids. Is that something you enjoy doing?
Yes, sir, because I feel like, you know, God's given me the talent to do stuff on the field and also on the field. It's just that I need to make the right choices and decisions, and that I can be a role model to the kids and people around my neighborhood and other cities and neighborhoods, you know, that they can have somebody to look up to that they can see for themselves, you know, a real true story, you know what I mean? And I can be an example for that true story.
Michael, did you reach out to Dr. Fitzhill or did he reach out to you?
I was really kind of, before I even thought about going to Arkansas Baptist, I had a conversation with some other people about things that I should do to try to get back to, you know, playing ball. And when I went there to Dr. Hill, you know, we had a conversation, and he kind of let me, you know, figure out what I wanted to do at first, you know what I mean? He didn't come pester me or come bother me every day about doing this and doing that. He kind of let me take it a day at a time, and then when I figured out myself what I wanted to do, that's when we kind of hooked up and started talking more, and he started helping me when he see that I was trying, you know, get myself together, making good grades, going to school, going to class, you know what I mean? So it was that type of deal.
You know, Michael, you'll be able to be a good role model whether you play football again or not, and I hope
he
counsels you to that. If you are able to play football again, do you think you can get back to your regular form, and how soon? Marcus said he didn't want to ask you on the air where you're going to go, so he won't.
No.
How soon do you think that decision will come?
I think in the next few weeks that I'll have a great, great mindset for, you know, where I'm going to go and where I will end up. Right now I'm just taking a day at a time, let things happen, develop. You know, I'm not rushing anything or any program. I'm just being patient and being respectful to everything around me. So I'm not gonna rush anybody. I'm just gonna let it, you know, play out. Hopefully, I'll know in the next couple weeks. But
Michael, let me ask you this question: If I was a head of a program, maybe an athletic director, I would ask you this question directly. What crimes have you been convicted of?
I haven't been convicted of any crimes, actually. I've never been convicted of a gun charge or a weed charge or a marijuana charge. The only thing I've ever done in my life is testify in a trial. That's about it. I never had convicted of anything. I got some speeding tickets that I had going back and forth to Auburn when I was on the way home sometimes, but that's about it. I don't have a gun charge or a marijuana charge or anything like that on my record.
Can you quickly tell us what your role was in that incident?
I was just a witness to somebody who had taken my weapon and used it in a robbery, which I didn't go to. Some people kind of got it mixed up where I thought that I was with them at the time, but I didn't go with them at all. You know, it's just a misunderstanding. My weapon was taken without me being known about it. And I just had to testify about, you know, it being my gun, and it was registered, so that was my only involvement in that case.
Great.
Very good. Well, Michael, we certainly, we're grateful to you for coming on our program. We wish you the absolute best, whether it's Arkansas or any other school. And
yes, sir.
We know again, whether you play football again or not, you've got a chance to be a good influence on the young people coming behind you. So we wish you the best in that.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Michael.
Really proud of you, Michael, and thank you again under these circumstances for spending a little bit of time with us. Our thoughts and prayers remain with you and your family. Let us know if we can help you in any way, okay?
All right. Thank you all for allowing me on your show.